Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Shelley Epperly here. Today is Monday, March the 25th, 2019. It's 8 p.m. in New York, 5 p.m. in Los Angeles, 12 midnight in London. Sydney, Australia is at about 11 a.m. Wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we got this all together at the last second. I just realized that, we have a podcast. And then Shelley just realized, we got a podcast. And here we are. We're doing a podcast. This is good. Hey, we remembered. That's really the good thing, you know?
I was literally on the couch and my phone buzzed and I looked down at it. It's 4:57. And then I looked and it was, the Monday Night Podcast with Walt and Shelley is about to start, and I'm like, oh,
oops.
I guess I better get on there then.
Hey, you made it. That's the main thing. You made it. It's on time. We're in good shape. No big deal. It's fine. Everything's fine. Actually, I have a story to tell you, by the way. I've been waiting all day to tell you because this actually happened today. Steve Rowell, who does the Tuesday morning and Wednesday afternoon podcast with me, is a big advocate of what he calls microshifting, which is essentially where you aim for a small goal and to attract and then you hit it and then you aim for a larger goal and you just keep building things up that way as a way of building up your trust and belief. He especially recommends it with attracting money. So, I figured, I should probably just try give it a shot and see what happens and see what kind of results I get. And I'll do it with some money. So he recommends starting with like $5 or $10 or £5 or £10, obviously, since he's from the UK. I said, well, I don't know, 10 pounds. I'm not sure I really want to start that small. That seems really small to me. So I said $10 or a whole lot more. That's the way I started it. And, within a couple days, this was like Thursday or Friday last week. Saturday, Louise and I went up to Vermont to visit our friends at Mount Snow and had a really nice visit. Went out to lunch, and at lunch came time to pay the bill and so forth. And they were offering to pay some of the bill, and the part of the bill of ours that they were paying amounted to about $20. I said, well, that's pretty cool. And then I looked in my wallet at my 20s, and I knew I had a bunch of 20s in there, pulled one out, and it was actually a 50. I didn't know I had the 50. So That gave me an extra $30. So my $10 turned into $50 really quickly. And I didn't expect any of that, which was really cool. And I said, okay, well, if I got to 50, then the next goal is to double. You're supposed to double it each time. So the next goal is 100. Okay, so now I need to attract 100. Didn't think about it until today after the morning podcast with Louie. And then I got a phone call from one of my hosting customers. Now, I have a server for hosting websites and email for a small number of customers that I've had for many, many years. My largest customer likes to use a lot of server disk space. So, I mean, typically, for most customers, it's like $10 a month or something like that. But he uses so much disk space, he spends $100 a month because he just doesn't want to clean his emails out, which is, hey, if that's what he wants to do, that's fine. I get a call from his office manager, and she says, he wants to double that. So he wants to go from $100 a month to $200 a month. I said, okay. And I went through, setting everything up with her, which actually adds up to about $1,200 a year. So I got my $100 in a most unexpected way. I got it as $100 a month, which was a pretty good increase.
That's what's so amazing about it is when you do level up like that, that's why like in The Secret they say to start like with something small, like a cup of coffee or something. And then, then you're like, oh wow, it works. Okay. Now I want, somebody to buy me lunch or, just whatever. And it's just cool how it does that. And then because you have that faith that, I didn't even know I had that 50 in my wallet, and I've had that experience too. I just had it, yesterday because I spent all my cash and I want to go garage sailing this coming weekend. And I'm like, well, I need to get some more cash. And then I'm like looking in my wallet and there's a check folded up and I like undo it. And it's a refund that I got like 2 weeks ago from the doctor's office for like $30. And I'm like, oh, well, I just need to take this. So then you start going, oh, okay. it works like that. Like, I just know that I'm going to get more cash for garage sailing or whatever. And then you can just, and the whole leveling up thing, what does he call it?
He calls it micro shifting.
Micro shifting.
Right.
Yeah. That's such a cool way to do it, because you do start believing and believing and believing. And then, you know, pretty soon it's like, okay, how can I attract $50,000?
Yeah.
How can I attract $1 million? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, the next goal is 200, obviously. Awesome. So I got to 100. Actually, I sent Steve a message. I said, which way do I count this? Because it's $100 a month, but it's $1,200 over the course of a year. And I'm about to collect that as an annual payment. He said, well, I would count as 100. So I said, okay, I'll count as 100 too. He pointed out it's a little bit easier to believe at that level. So I said, okay, I'll count as 100. So the next goal is 200. So $200 is coming to me sometime fairly soon, I think, at the rate that we're going, you know, because it's just a few days between each one so far. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, and now it seems super easy because you really did just attract $1,200.
Yeah, right.
You know? And so $200 is nothing.
The best part, though, Shelley, the best part was that it was after I had the phone call with the customer, and there's a whole conversation that goes along with that I can't really reveal on the air, but it was a very fun conversation. That's the bottom line there. I got off the phone, and I said, and I just kind of laughed, because this is a customer who does these unpredictable things. That was part of what the funny part of the conversation was. He just does these unpredictable things. I'm laughing at it. And as I'm laughing, I'm realized, wait a minute, that's my $100. See, I almost missed the fact that I attracted the $100. That's what I'm trying to say. And it occurred to me, my God, I actually attracted, in fact, I attracted the $100 12 times. I mean, that's pretty good. And then I laughed again. And then I remembered, this is about celebrating. Every time something like this happens, you're supposed to celebrate. You're supposed to make it a really, really big emotion. So I did. And I started dancing around the house and turning it into this, like I just won the lotto or something.
How fun.
It was fun. It is fun. And it is cool, too. It's a way of reminding myself that when you do all that, it sticks with you better. Because I could have forgotten. I could have forgotten that I was trying to attract $100. I could have just laughed it off and forgotten about that part, too. It's like, okay, there's a check coming in the mail, big deal. And I wouldn't have got the benefit out of it that I'm getting now. But because I remembered, and I remembered to celebrate, even now as I'm telling the story, I'm still feeling the feeling. And that, we both know, that's the key. Yeah. You got to keep feeling it in a big, strong way. So I'm glad I remembered. Yeah. I'm glad I remembered, first of all, to actually, you know, set the micro shift goal. And second of all, to recognize that it came.
Yeah, that is awesome. And it is, it does get to that point where when things start rolling in, you know, whether it's money or whatever you're attracting and lining up with, it is really easy just to be like, it just starts coming and it just kind of gets, you have to concentrate on getting excited about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. It's exactly the point I was trying to make.
Because once those things start happening, you expect them. So before you used to expect your car to break down or your day to go bad or your, you know, whatever. And when you shift your focus, you start expecting more money and a better car and, you know, better people at work and better, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so then that's when you have to get in that same mindset. You know, when people are out in the world and they're like, how you doing? And when you are in that negative space, you're like, oh, my knees hurt and, you know, the kids are being brats and the work sucks. But when you get into this new thing, it's like into this positive space. When people ask you how you're doing, you're like, I'm doing great. You know, we're doing this and we're doing that. We're going to go on this vacation. You know, my business is going good. The kids are great. You know,
yep.
And so it's like a whole, it's like taking that energy and just shifting it in the other direction. Everything just goes so much better. And it's so easy. And I think the most awkward part of it is when people are trying to get into that complaining, gossipy state and you don't go there with them.
Right.
They don't really know how to deal with that.
Well, we had an example of that this weekend with the friends that we visited. up in Vermont. It's a couple that Louise has known for, oh, good grief, 40 years or something like that. Back to the day when she was a ski bum. She was a ski bum for four or five years at Mount Snow, Vermont, and met these people there, and they got married later, but she knew them independently. He has, for as long as she can remember, always been very negative. Had, you know, everything that came out of his mouth was all the things that are going wrong. She was more positive, mm-hmm. although she can also get into a negative thing too. And he had actually manifested cancer. He's dealing with cancer right now. But, and this was the cool part is that he, not only was he dealing with cancer, he was also dealing with drug addiction. And the two together, the two combined apparently have, you know how you, if you have enough things going on, you kind of hit bottom and you get this determination to turn things around. He got determined. He got determined to turn things around. He was talking more positively than I have ever heard him in all the time that I've known him. It was wonderful.
That is so awesome.
It was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience. We had a great weekend. I mean, here's the weird part. Like I said, he's the one who's usually the more negative. She was actually more negative than he was this time. And she wasn't all that negative. Don't get me wrong. It's just that he had made that much of a shift that it was noticeable in a big, big way, which was cool. So bottom line is we had a wonderful visit. We had a great meal with them. We went out. Also, it was Louise's birthday. So after that, we went on our way home. We stopped off at a place in Northampton, the Northampton Inn, and had a wonderful meal there. And it was just a great, great day. So talking about what you talked about just now, about, you know, how one thing leads to another and you know, one good thing leads to another good thing and so forth, that's exactly what was happening. And it wasn't just happening in terms of the events. It was happening in terms of the people, which is great. I love that more than almost anything else, especially when it's somebody who's making a turnaround, you know, because you notice it. It's such a big deal. It's a really, really big deal. So anyway, this is we're doing this as a live stream with Q&A. If anybody wants to leave questions or comments, we'll be glad to discuss them. But in the meantime, we'll just keep talking about these cool things that have been happening to us and about the law of attraction in general. And so you said that you manifested an unexpected check that you'd forgotten about, and that's going to lead to doing the yard sailing this coming weekend. So now your weekend's all set, and you're going to be psyched for that, I'm sure. What else is going on? Anything fun going on?
Here in the Pacific Northwest, garage sale, because of all the rain and stuff, we have just a window of garage sale, yard sale season, so... You know, when it starts, it's like, yay.
Yeah.
And the last two weekends, I've had stuff going on. So it's like I'm driving to my destination where I need to be. And I'm passing all these signs and it's just like torture because that's where I really want to be. So it'll be so nice to go yard sailing this weekend and pick up some good stuff to sell.
You sound like Louise because she used to do yard sailing in a big way to do trash to treasure kind of stuff. And she's not normally the person who likes to get up early, but on Saturdays when she was doing this bright and early, 6 a.m., she's bounding out of bed. She was, you know, couldn't wait to get in the car, had to get to the first yard sale before 7 o'clock because she had to be an early bird and, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's fun to have that kind of excitement, even if it's something that's just, you know, simple, because yard sailing is a fairly simple thing. But if you're excited about it, what a great way to build excitement up.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, you meet people, you get to see different parts of town because you go back in the neighborhoods where you're usually just going on the main roads and stuff. So, it's fun.
Have you had
And then I always find treasure to resell and make good money on, so that's fun too.
Do you have any particular great stories from yard selling that you like to tell?
I mean, for me, my great stories really are just the finds and... So far here, my best find has been, I bought I think there was 87 sports jerseys. I bought them all for $300.
Wow.
And so I've probably made, I don't know, a couple thousand on that. They're almost gone. I've almost sold them all, and I didn't keep track because I just keep monthly track of everything, so I don't keep track of like what, you know, out of that lot sold.
Right.
And then I bought a I think it was a vintage Ralph Lauren, like, Letterman type jacket, and for like $2 at a yard sale, and sold it for $170.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I mean, I find stuff like that. Like, I went to the, I call it the bins. It's the Goodwill outlet where they sell everything by the pound, and you're just digging through all these bins, and there's no rhyme or reason to anything that's in them as far as, you know, it's not all the kids' clothes are together. It's just clothes and textiles and everything, and and so, you know, I find amazing stuff in there too. You know, I found like Prada and Gucci, and you know,
wow,
so
crazy.
Yeah, so I just love the hunt. So the yard sailing is so fun for me because it is such a hunt.
That's the part that Louise likes the most too. She should probably have a business like you have, where you're selling on eBay and so forth, in order to unload the stuff, but she doesn't like any of that part. The part that she likes is the find. She just wants to celebrate the find, which I can understand. I mean,
yeah,
it's fun. You know, it's exciting when you find something good like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, let's see. What else is going on? Anything of note? Any interesting LOA experiences the last week or so? Actually, it's been 2 weeks, hasn't it? Because we didn't do a show last week. So it's been 2 weeks since we
last saw. Yeah, I think that's what kind of threw me this afternoon. But you know how you go through the day and you're just like, what am I forgetting? Like, there's something going on, but you can't put your finger on it. I do that often, and then I was just like literally, I just saw that post on Facebook. It just popped up on my phone, and I was just like, ah!
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that's so funny.
Well, tell you what, let's play a little bit of Stump the Expert kind of game. We'll just each come up with little topics to discuss, and unless somebody comes along and decides to ask us some questions, and we'll just kind of go back and forth like that. Does that sound all right to you?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I need to text my daughter really quick because I know she's been having some issues at work, and I know that's why she's trying to call me. But
oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Well, while you. Actually, why don't you do that? While you're doing that, I'll do the announcements I normally say for the end. That way you can have time to do your
texting. Okay.
Which are a reminder to everybody, if you're not yet a subscriber to the podcast, become one. It's real simple. In fact, we've made it about as simple as it can possibly be. Just go to the homepage of our website at loatoday.net, and you will now find, no matter what device you're using, it will show you the exact link you need in a nice big text block at the top of the page. It's like a little graphic with text in it. You just click on that, and it'll just walk you right through the process of becoming a subscriber, and then all the episodes come right to your smartphone. And then, of course, once you are a subscriber, make sure that when you're listening to an episode, you know, send us a message. Obviously, we'd love to hear from you, but more importantly, post it on social media. Share the fact that you're listening and that you're enjoying it, because we want more and more people to find out about LOA Today and get their daily doses of happy. So there it is in a nutshell. You know, subscribe to the podcast and share the fact that you're subscribing, and more people will get it. So that give you enough time? Yeah, I think you got your text message done, so that's good.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, okay, first question, the first topic. Okay, well, I was telling a story, and you were kibitzing with some stories of your own about times when we are reminded to celebrate and how important it is to celebrate. Can you think off the top of your head, what is your favorite thing that you ever manifested that you remembered to celebrate, and the celebration was even better than the manifestation? Can you think of anything that kind of fits the bill where the celebration was almost better than the manifestation? And I know we don't normally think about it that way, so it's not the easiest question. But
I know what it is. It's when my husband and I were just starting to do the Law of Attraction back in like 2006-ish,
uh-huh,
when we first watched The Secret and all that, and we were really getting into it, and we were planning a Disney trip, and because we're just big Disney fans, we love taking the kids and everything, and
yep.
And so that year the kids, we ended up going in 2007, so they were 10, and Marley turned 5 while we were there.
Oh,
and
nice.
So at first we were just gonna go to Disneyland, and we started looking into what it would take to go to Disney World. And, you know, we were like, oh, it won't be that much more. It was a lot more. We spent a lot of money. But it was, what was so cool was, we learned that we could get like special perks if we had like the Disney Visa card or whatever, mm-hmm. that we could get special perks in the park and stuff
right.
at that time. And so we went ahead and applied for the Disney Visa card, and it was the exact amount that we needed for the trip.
Very cool.
And the best part of that whole thing was we sat the three kids down, because it was my stepdaughter and then R2, and we sat them down and we said, look, we've like run through the numbers and, you know, we've made some decisions and we're not going to go to Disneyland. And they were just like, what? And then we said, we're going to Disney World. And they were, you know, that was the celebration. Like, number one was, you know, when we were sitting there at the computer applying for that Visa card, and then it was like the exact amount that we needed. Yep. So it was like, okay, there's that, you know. And then when we did that with the kids, they were just so excited, and just all the excitement working up to it, and you know, it was just awesome.
That's wonderful. So that was, because when kids get excited, kid excitement exceeds adult excitement. I mean, it's what we adults aspire to.
Oh, yeah.
But kid excitement is just off the charts. So yeah, that's fun. That's a lot of fun. That was probably almost more fun than the trip itself, just the announcement.
Yeah. Well, for me, because I'm a homebody, we went there for 11 days and, ooh. You know, by like day five, I was like, okay, can we go home? And of course they were just telling me, no, we're not going home.
Yeah, right.
But you know, there was five of us in a hotel room for, you know, 12 days or whatever. And it was a bit much, you know, but, yeah. So, I mean, it was a blast, but you know, when you're the mom and you're packing everybody and making sure everybody's got what they right. need, and you're getting up early to do laundry at the hotel, and you know, it's to be a lot of work, but it was so fun. And it was, like I said, that the celebration of it actually happening was amazing. So.
That's great too, because an event like that, that lasts that long and has that great of a send off, first of all, but also has, I mean, yeah, you had plenty of things you had to do, but the kids, I'm sure it's indelibly imprinted in their minds and in their hearts what happened. You know, when you have that yeah. kind of an event that just, it's that powerful a memory, that's a great memory to have, because that's a memory
yeah.
when you need something to pick you up, you can pick yourself up really quick just by focusing on something that powerful. That's wonderful to have that.
And then if we even go back farther, before I really knew what the law of attraction was, I had read this book, and it was called How to Solve All Your Money Problems Forever, or something like that.
Okay.
And I wasn't really wanting to solve my money problems at that point. I was wanting, Madison had just started walking, and we lived in this little tiny house. It was like 800 square feet. And I wanted a bigger house.
Ah.
And, you know, but the circumstances, and it wasn't a financial circumstance. It was Scott's grandma's house, and we had taken, she had given us the deed to it when we had to put her into a home because she was starting to lose her faculties a little, and so we were kind of tied to that house, but it was just getting really hard to have this little tiny house, and we had tons of stuff, and she was getting into everything, and it was just, and so I started reading that book, and it told you to basically do the affirmations and visualize. So every morning when I woke up, after I, you know, obviously got her under wraps, I would take a few minutes and do that. And then every evening, I would go in our bedroom and shut the door, and I would do that.
Oh, okay.
And 2 weeks, so 2 weeks later, and it told you not to figure out how, just to know that it was going to happen and to keep visualizing it. So it was totally a method of using the law of attraction.
Right.
And so I was doing that, and then like 2 weeks into it, my aunt called me, and she said, your uncle and I just bought a house, But part of the stipulation to get the loan is we have to have renters in our current house. Would you and Scott be interested in renting our house? And it was like, and they gave us a really great deal, and it was a, we went from 800 to 1,800 square feet with a big yard for the dog. We had a place for horses. We had a big place for the trampoline. So it was just like this whole, and I just remember being like, that's so cool that that worked. And then I just like dropped it. Like, why did I do that?
Well, it's kind of like what I was talking about, how, you know, I'm trying to manifest this $100. I get $100 in spades, and I don't even make the connection. I mean, it takes me like 10 minutes to say, well, wait a minute, that's what I was asking for.
Yeah. Well, I'm at the point now, like, when I found that check last night, I was like, oh, there it is. Like, oh, of course that's where it is. You know, like, it's like got to that point with me, like, oh, I wanted more cash, and, you know, I just have to run to the bank and cash this check, you know, which I was going to go to the bank and get, I was probably just going to get cash back, you know, on my next purchase somewhere or whatever, but it was just like, oh, okay, there it is. Like, it's so fun, and I think that, like, what you're saying is you forget to make it fun, because it does become habit, you know? Right. And so then you're just like, oh, okay, there's an extra 50 in my wallet. Okay. You know, you just accept it and move on, but then you got to go, no, I asked for that. Like, mm-hmm. I asked for that.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very easy to forget. And like you say, it can actually get to the point where we just kind of take it for granted. But that is the one thing we can't do. We must not do, I should say, if we want to be truly abundant livers. Is that actually a word, liver? A liver? I mean, not besides liver inside your body. Yeah. Somebody who lives abundantly.
I'm an abundant liver.
I'm all wrinkly. No, that's not it. But it is. It's so important. And I think, I mean, I'm glad we're spending time talking about it, because I want to remind listeners, just like I want to remind myself, we got to celebrate all of the good things that happen, big and small. Because when we do, that's what makes life so much better. And I think it's also important to remember, it's not necessarily about trying to celebrate it in order to attract stuff. Although that's certainly part of what happens. It's more about trying to attract feeling good and continuing to feel good and feel better and better and better. Because that's really, that's where life is anyway, right? It's about, what are you experiencing? Why are you here? I mean, if you're not here to enjoy your life, what's the point? There are a lot of people who ask that question.
Well, I just think it's, I keep kind of going back to the negative, and I'm not trying to dwell on it, but it's just like, you think about when something goes wrong, you know, something like, I can give my daughter, for example, like, she's just having a really hard time at work. She's having a hard time with how everybody, you know, how the other people are dealing with things, and how, you know, she's like, I went and had lunch with her on Wednesday, and she's just like repeating and repeating and repeating. And right. I'm just like, honey, What would it look like if you went to work tomorrow and everything was perfect? Like, what would that look like? And she goes, well, it's not going to be. And I said, you're going to get what you expect. And you know that. Like, I've preached to these kids. And when I'm having a crap day, they preach it right back to me. You know?
You can't get away with it.
and she just kept going. And I said, do you hear me? I said, I know that you're venting right now because you can vent to me and you can't vent to them and you're really frustrated. I get that. But you got it. When you get all that crap out of you, you have to start focusing and turning it around. And she was just, and so then, she came over, yesterday, and we all went out and had pizza, and we went walking down by the river and stuff. And I noticed that a couple times she started and then she pulled back, which I felt like, you know, I know that she's doing that for me, but it's a start,
right?
You know? And so I think about that, like, what if instead I went to lunch with her and she was just like, Mom, everything's just going great and the kids are being so great and the other so great, and I had such a great day. I can't wait to go back tomorrow. It's going to be so great. And we do that, like, just, I think it's just it's not ingrained in us. It's taught to us that, you know, like, when you ask someone, how are you doing? You know, and like I was saying, like, oh, my back's killing me, or my, you know, but you can put just as much energy and be repeating, oh my God, I attracted $100 today. How did you do that? Well, this is how it happened. Right. Like, instead of that story of, oh, my car broke down, I don't have any money, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, I can't get to work tomorrow, nobody will give me, you know, like, you can go on and on with that. And you can also go on and on with the amazing story. And when you start getting to that point where you can go on and on with that amazing story, and I think that in the beginning, when you start using the law of attraction to your advantage, I feel like I have a friend that was having a really hard time in her marriage, and she'd be like, how are you guys doing? I'm like, we're doing great, you know, and it's like that little twinge of guilt, like, oh, maybe I should say, you know, maybe I should complain about my husband right now just to make her feel better. But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, like,
sure.
You don't want to be a jerk and be like, no, my life's great. My relationship's great. Sorry that your life sucks, you know?
Well, there's a reason why they say misery loves company. I mean, because it really does.
Yeah, exactly. But the opposite is just as true. If you find the people in the right mindset, like, they won't tolerate that. They're not going to tolerate you talking about, you know, complaining about your husband or your kids or your finances. They're going to be like, well, you know, you got to, and that's how I feel too. You know, I want to kind of pull her aside, just go, you know, this is what you need to do. But I know that she's not there. You know, if she was there, she'd ask for help, or she'd say, well, what are you guys doing to make it so great, or whatever. But, so I think it's just really easy to almost kind of tamp down that positivity around people, because they're all complaining about all their ailments or their finances or their relationships, and you're over there going, I just attracted $100 and physically I feel great because I went to the gym today, and me and my wife are doing awesome. You know, we had an awesome weekend with friends, and, you know, so, you know, got to get past that. You got to get to the point where it's like, my life is great, and if yours isn't, I'm just going to keep shining over here, and eventually you're going to follow my lead, or you're just going to drop off. And either way, I'm fine with it, you know?
Which is good. That's the right way to handle it, I think. The other thing that occurs to me is that we have a habitual way of dealing with stuff, and that's where a lot of the negativity comes. But we also have, because so often we are focused on negativity. By the way, I got to tell you a negativity story before I even make this point. You mentioned how you almost want to go shake the other person up, and it made me think, Louise, many years ago, when I would get into some really negative spaces, periodically would literally come over to where I was, push me down on the couch, straddle me across the waist, grab me by the T-shirt, and say, snap out of it!
I love it.
And it always made me laugh, you know. So. But you kind of want to do that with people, right? You want to say, snap out of it. The point that I was going to make, though, is that because so many people get so habitual about focusing on the negative, it can get to the point where they forget what the positive is. And an example of that came up over the weekend, again, with these friends. And I mentioned that her name's Leona. Leona had kind of gotten into a little bit of a negative spiral at one point during the conversation, which with our help and actually with her husband's help too, fairly quickly turned. But she was going on about, I think it was about political issues and something about gun control or something. I forget what it was. But she was basically focused on, how are we going to fix this world? How are we going to make things better? You know, so many things are going wrong. The country is so divided, yada, yada, yada. All this stuff. She was going on. And then finally, most of it turned out to be about health. It was like surrounded with health issues. So she was talking about people who get sick and there's, you know, the hospitals are filling up. And I mean, it was just this long litany of things. And how are we going to make people understand how important it is to get healthy instead of, you know, how are we going to convince them that they're focusing on all the wrong things here? And then she started listing all the things that were wrong. So I said, well, hang on just a second here. Okay. We want to change all that stuff, right? So let's define what health is first. So what's health? Mm-hmm. And you know what? She drew a blank. She was so focused on the negatives, she couldn't even say what health is. It shows, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the space we can get into. We start getting on these negative spirals. We can't even remember what health is. We can't even remember what wealth is. We can't remember what healthy relationships are. We can't remember it because we're just in that negative space. And that, I think, is the big reason to celebrate, and it's the big danger in not celebrating things that go well. Because if you get into that negative space, you all need to have somebody come over and grab you by the shirt and say, snap out of it, in order to snap out of it.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like there's a guy that I went to school with him in 6th and 7th grade, and he's and in 6th and 7th grade, you know, you first start having your little crushes and thinking that boys and girls are cute and all that stuff. And
right.
You know, he was like the cutest kid in class. I remember, like, every time I talked to him, because I was just a nerd with glasses, and, you know, I wasn't very popular, and, you know, I mean, everybody was pretty nice to me or whatever, but it was just, you know, I was definitely wasn't one of the pretty popular kids, you know, so I just friended him on Facebook, like, or I think maybe he requested, I don't remember, but, you know, I've been friends with him on Facebook for, like, maybe a year or so, and he's just miserable. Like, he never got married, he never had kids, and he's just always, like, complaining about being single and nobody wants to be with him. And I almost messaged him the other day just to let him know, you know, like, no woman wants to be with a guy who's just complaining about how miserable and single he is. Like, that's not going to attract it. Like, nobody wants, you know, a woman wants a man that is, you know, confident and proud and, you know, but I just thought, no, that's not my place. But you know what I mean? Like, that's just like an example of where when you're seeing somebody, like, you see it on Facebook all the time because you see people's posts over and over and over again.
Right.
And you kind of get an idea of what their life is about, even if they are, you know, posting the filtered pictures of how, you know, great everything is, that there's still that little nuance of what's really going on in their lives, or, you know, and it's just like, I have no problem doing that with people on the Law of Attraction groups, because they're there for a reason, and I tend to be pretty blunt. I don't like to, like, you know, sugarcoat things. And so, I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I actually can sympathize with your friend, your school friend, because I used to be in that space, and it's a miserable space to be in. And I remember occasionally having a conversation with somebody who was trying to do what you thought about doing. That is, trying to point out to them, you know, this isn't going to work. What you really need to do is switch your mindset and, you know, focus on positives and so forth. And you said the magic word. You said that a woman doesn't want a man who isn't confident. Well, I actually had somebody say the same thing to me. And I remember what my reaction was. My reaction was, okay, but I don't feel confident. How am I supposed to feel confident if I don't feel confident? Unfortunately, the woman who said it to me didn't have an answer, so I was kind of left hanging there. I wish that, like, the present me had been able to reach back in the past and say, well, here's the secret. But unfortunately, that didn't quite happen. But, I mean, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be in that space. And it does seem impossible when you're feeling that low that you could ever acquire that level of confidence. The worst part was, I also remembered having a friend who exuded confidence. He was also a bit of a jerk, but he exuded confidence like crazy. So, I mean, the two of us could go into a bar, and we'd be sitting there at the bar, and like three women would come by and hand him a slip of paper that had their phone number on. That's how much confidence this guy put out. You know? Now, truly, he was a confidence man. He was a con man. He would just con anybody. So, you know, he had no scruples about what he was going to do when he met any of these women. But nevertheless, he had that confidence. And so I always associate confidence with this con man. I said to myself, well,
like arrogant.
Very arrogant, very, yeah, he didn't really care much. He had very little respect for other people, especially for women. Mm-hmm. You know, very, very little respect. And so that kind of reinforced for me that confidence is, you know, not such a good thing. And I realized now looking back, well, of course that's what happened. I was in a bad frame of mind about confidence. For me, my confidence was low. I didn't know how to get there. And so when I asked the question, you know, how can I get confidence? I was asking it from a position of lack. So what I got, what I get, I got a person who provided the example of being even more lackful about confidence. You know?
Yeah.
It's God, this stuff is just amazing. It's amazing how, whoops, my cat is going nuts here. It's amazing how he gets into distracto cat mode every once in a while. He's knocking, he just knocked my phone on the floor, the mouse on the floor, because he's like, you know, sprawling all over the place here.
I love it.
Come here. This guy is, of course he doesn't want to be in my lap now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like everything goes flying. he apparently thought that I was spending much too much time on the negative, and he just had to interrupt the whole flow of it and turn it into a positive.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. But anyway, that was my point. My point is you can get in that negative spiral. So the question becomes, okay, how do you climb out of that spiral when you aren't, first of all, when you don't know how the LOA works, and second of all, when you don't even understand where the positive is? That's what the real challenge is. So I guess I tell all that as a way of saying, tell your friend. Don't hold back. Tell him. He needs to know. He's probably in such a space that he's lost, and he doesn't have a clue of what to do with it. And to have a sane voice come along that he actually knows, tell him. And if you're being blunt about it, blunt about it.
Yeah, I just get worried that I don't want to send him into more of a spiral like I'm trying to put him down or whatever. So I just need to find the right way to word it. But it's just really interesting. Like, since I've been studying the law of attraction stuff and just more and more getting into it, you know, there's that, I don't want to get political here, but there's the whole thing where all these rich people and celebrities are getting in trouble for paying off the colleges to get their kids in right now.
Yeah.
And so somebody put on Facebook, now that all these are, now that it's all, basically, now that this has happened, are they going to start paying off politicians for their own agenda? And I thought, I just typed in, I said, this has all been happening for decades.
Yeah, like, kidding.
Like,
yeah, right.
You know? And he said, oh, well, it's just horrible what, you know, money does or whatever. And I said, all money does is it magnifies who you already are. And he said, well, I just think it's horrible that people with money think that they can buy whatever they want. And I said, well, they can. Like, if you have enough money, there's things that you could do that other people can't do because there's money. You know, you can buy things and you can buy people, not like, I'm not talking about like trafficking, but you can buy, you know, a person into your company so you can have a better company, or you can buy, you know, if you want a house and they don't want to sell it, if you give them the right price, anybody's going to sell their house if it's, you know, ridiculous or whatever.
Right.
And so I was just pointing that out, but, you know, just being, watching more and more people that are wealthy and that are into the law of attraction and stuff, and they say, you just watch the people that don't have money and don't get this. And they're the ones that are putting down the rich people. Mm. But you very rarely see rich people putting down poor people because they get it. So it's like instead you're looking at them and going, if you only understood how easy this all was. Like, we all have the same amount of time in our day and the same opportunities and potential to do what Steve Jobs did. Mm. Maybe not with computers, because we're not all into computers, but we all have passions, and if we can get past these blocks of thinking that this is all there is, and this is, it's all going to run out, and we can't make it better, you know, and so just like driving around my town and seeing like homeless people and just, you know, driving through like the not so great parts of town. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting to watch how people behave.
Yeah.
Because they are like what you were saying, like, you're so far in a hole, you can't see out of it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that, and that's how people, some people live their whole lives like that. Like, mm, just, you know, even, you know, I think of like addicts and stuff that are just scrounging for the next fix, but right, just, but also people that are just in poverty. Mm. You know, you don't have to be on drugs to have that mentality of just, like, nothing's ever going right. I don't know how I'm going to pay rent. I don't know. You know, I need to get all this state assistance. And, you know, it's just, it, to me, as sad as it can be, it really is interesting. And it's also like a confirmation of how the law of attraction works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, true. It really is. And It can be overwhelming to see all that and to experience it. I mean, because we can all find examples of that in the places that we live, wherever we are in the world. So it's right, not hard to find that stuff. I'm finding that the lesson, if you will, or the new idea to gain from interacting with people like that is to remember that just because I'm currently seeing them that way doesn't mean that, first of all, they see themselves that way. I mean, you told me a wonderful story about how the circumstances you grew up in would, by most people's eyes, not be a very nice experience. But from your point of view, it was a magical experience. You know,
right,
your experience
right,
was entirely different from the way most people would see it. And I'm trying more and more to remember that is always the case. Just because I perceive something in a way doesn't mean that the person I'm looking at is experiencing it the same way. I mean, I know I have actually heard of, Joel told a story one time about a person he knew who begged on the street for a living. I mean, that's all she did. She just begged on the street in the Richmond, Virginia area. And I don't remember what the exact story was, but it was something like, it was either he helped to get some sort of a job for her, or somebody else had arranged something, and it was a good job she was going to get. And she said, "Why on earth would I do that? I make $300 a day begging on the street. Why would I go get a job?" Which mm-hmm. was entirely different from what he was perceiving, you know, and what other people were perceiving about this person who was apparently living on the street. Well, apparently living on the street was pretty good for her. From her perspective, she was loving it.
Yeah, I totally believe that. Like, I know there's definitely the people that you see all the time, and they're very well dressed. I mean, I've even seen them go and get in their car and drive away in a pretty nice car after they've been panhandling for a couple hours. And you know, my answer to that is just that if I drive up to an intersection or a stop sign and there's a panhandler there and it feels right to me, I will give. And,
sure,
and I give freely. I don't worry about what they're going to spend it on. That's none of my business. I'm just helping them out in the moment. You know, I just went to Goodwill the other day, and as soon as I pulled up, there was a guy sitting on the bench, and I immediately just like started opening my wallet because I just knew. And he was like, "I'm trying to catch the bus to get up to Seattle. Is there any chance you could?" He goes, "Do you have any work for me?" And mm-hmm. I said, "No, I don't have any work for you, but I'll give you a couple bucks." And he's mm-hmm. like, "Thank you so much. I only need like $9 more to get the bus." And I was like, "Okay, well, here you go." And they always say, "God bless you," which, mm-hmm. because I'm not a religious person mm-hmm. as far as that.
Yep.
And then we also gave to a gal by the mall, like the following day on Saturday, my husband and I did. And it's just like, are they saying that because they think that people that have money to give are all religious? Are they saying, or do they really believe that? And it used to bug me. Mm. And then I was just like, you know what? I just got to let that go too. Like, you find yourself getting like nitpicky in these little things. It's like, no, I gave, you know, I gave him a couple bucks. I don't care if he went and bought beer with it or whatever he needed, or if he got the bus up to Seattle to get where he needed to go, whatever. He was grateful, and I was giving, and it was perfect, and I went in and found some great stuff and Goodwill, you know? So,
yeah. That's looking on the positive side of everything, and that's really, that's the goal, I think. Just looking on the positive side of everything, no matter what's going on.
That is the goal.
Yeah. And the better we do that, the better off we are. So I'm thinking back to your friend from school. I mean, honestly, you know what I would tell your friend if I were you? I would tell him you had a crush on him when you were in whatever grade it was. Tell him that you thought he was the cutest boy.
I was going to tell him that. Like, you were the cutest boy in class.
You should.
And, you know, and, yeah, and what happened? Like, where did that confident 6th and 7th grader kid that was, you know, I mean, he was like a kind of a class clown, and, you know, and it's just like, and now he's just making all these little, you know, he's trying to make fun of it, but then, you know, somebody will be like, oh, you know, you're a sweetie, you should get the girls, and he's just like, nope, nobody wants to be with me, you know, it's just like, why are you, yeah.
Well, maybe instead of asking him why he's gotten into the bad fun, maybe ask him, what's it going to take for him to have the same confidence level he had when he was in fourth grade or whatever it was?
Yeah.
A reframing can actually help with something like that. Because I do know, I mean, I remember very clearly what it was like at that time when I was going through the same
thing. So what got you out of it?
Let's see, what did get me out of it? quitting. That's really, oh, there goes the cat. literally quitting. I mean, the timing, this is a story I've told many times, but the timing was impeccable. It was the spring of 1998. I had kind of totaled it up, and since college, I'd had about 20 straight years of abject total failure when it came to women. Just no relationships had ever worked out. The longest one had lasted about 3 weeks. I mean, it was just one disaster after another. And you put up with that for 20 years, and you just get burned out. And that's what happened to me. I just got burned out. I couldn't take it anymore. And so I threw in the towel. I said, I'm not going to do relationships anymore. I'm not going to try to find anybody. It's just too painful. And especially since I had just come through the most painful of them all. I mean, it was like one painful thing after another, but the one I had just come out of was the most painful of all of them by far. So I was in agony over this kind of stuff. And I just said, that's it, I quit. And a month later, I met Louise because I quit. I gave up on all the angst. I gave up on all the negative focus. I just stopped thinking about it. And in that process of stopping thinking about it, what happened in the interim was Louise, she had actually a black cat at that time named Shadow. Shadow died previous November after 16 years together. And a couple months later, a friend of her asked her, are you going to get another cat? And without thinking about it, she says, no, I'm going to get a husband. And she started asking everybody that she knew, do you know of any healthy males who are still single?
Any healthy males? Going to the shelter. Are any of these guys healthy?
Well, I should have said mentally healthy, because she was a psychotherapist, so that's what she meant by it. She wanted to have mentally healthy males, somebody who was emotionally healthy. And she ended up asking the question of a friend of hers who was also a therapist, who also was a friend of mine because I was involved in swing dancing at the time, and she was one of my swing dancing partners. And she says, oh, yeah, I know somebody, which to this day kind of surprises me. It was truly law of attraction in action, because I swear to God, she probably knew 200 or 300 males through that swing dance group. I mean, it was a large community of swing dancers, and there were any number that, I mean, I've been to parties that she put on. She would have her apartment packed with people, half of them guys, all of them single, you know, at these parties that she had. So she knew plenty of people, but she thought of me for some reason, and hooked us together. She had, actually, Deborah had to kind of talk me into it. I mean, when I say I had quit, I mean I quit. And so she calls me up and she says, you know, I have a friend who wants to meet you. Can I give you her phone number? My reaction was, absolutely not. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm in pain. I'm done. And she knew the person that I had previously broken up with and been, in a very painful situation where she knew who that was. And I said, you know what went on with her? And she says, yeah. But, you know, you can't just give up. Yeah, I mean, this is somebody who might be good for you. You never really know until you meet her. And so she finally ended up talking me into calling Louise up, which I did. And I did it for 3 Wednesdays in a row. Wednesday was Louise's night for talking to people on the phone. So I called her up. And each time it was a 2-hour conversation. Now, if I had been in a positive frame of mind or, you know, a confident frame of mind, 3 conversations in a row, 2 hours each, I would have said, oh, well, this is something. This is really good. That was not what I was thinking. What I was actually thinking is, okay, when's the other shoe going to drop? When's this thing going to fall apart? But I had just enough willingness to try that we ended up meeting, and the meeting was a disaster. It didn't work at all. And then I went to a party that Deborah was having because Deborah and myself and one other person all had birthdays around the same time. And that party was the same day that Louise and I met. So I went to the party after the devastating failure of a meeting. And Deborah said to me, so you're going to give it the 3-date rule, right? And I said, what's the 3-date rule? And she said, that's where you give it 3 dates before you make a decision. I said, oh, no, really? So once again, she talked me into it, and then things improved dramatically after that. And a month later, Louise and I were together. So, you know, it was a combination of me giving up and my friend saying, you know, don't give up on this too much. You gave up on the stuff you need to get rid of. You need to give up on things not working out. You did that, but don't give up on somebody who you like and who liked you. Like, okay. And I did, and it worked out great. So that's how we did it.
Hey, you know, that whole surrendering and giving up and letting go.
And I had no idea that's what I was actually doing. Never occurred to me. I knew nothing about law of attraction. I knew nothing about surrendering, as it's called, or giving up. There wasn't even a strategy. This was just literally, I can't take this anymore. That's all. That was the end of the conversation right there. It was the exact right thing to do, but I didn't know that. I wanted to point out to you, we said we're going to do a thing where we're alternating questions. We've asked one question, and we spent an hour talking about that question. I thought you might be interested to know that. I mean, we get going, and it just takes on a life of its own, which is cool. I like that. It's fun, but
it's just pretty wild. I do too.
In fact, I'm not even sure what the original question was. What was it? Oh, yeah, it was about what's the most fun thing that you ever manifested. And boy, look what it turned into, this long, long thing. Really, really cool. Hey, before we part company for the night, I wanted to ask you, you were talking at one point about doing a coaching thing. Are you still going to do that coaching thing?
Well, I'm always open to coaching.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want, I guess what I'm thinking is, do you want to let people know how to reach you in case any of the listeners want to reach out and have a chat and share
stuff? You can reach me on Facebook. You can message me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page called Creating Happy Mondays. That's kind of my brand. Just cause I think that everybody should create a life where their Mondays are happy instead of, back to the grind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cause Mondays are always my best day. I love Mondays. So you can go to there. I have a YouTube channel, which is Creating Happy Mondays. And I do some of my reselling stuff on there because that's what creates my happy Mondays. And I also do a lot of law of attraction and coaching stuff on that. And if you want to contact me on Facebook, you can message me and I will definitely get back to you.
Sounds great. All right. Well, that's a nice positive way to leave it for this week. Thank you for doing the show. I'm glad we finally got one in after 2 weeks, but it's been enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I saw that message. You'd probably still be sitting here going, what the heck is
she? I'm glad you did say it. Yes. And on that cheery note, we'll say thank you to our audience, to our podcast audience especially, and we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.